And, you know, children can be very active. They've got energy to burn and they're out there to burn it. But when you take a book, often the most energetic children will come and sit quietly beside you. They like to get close so that you can read to them. And in that process, one, you're spending time, but two, you're conveying something to them, if they're good books, of course. You're conveying something to them, and then you can talk about what's in there. This is really important. Look, we live in a society where there's so much to do and our time is taken by so many things. We're urgent in everything that's happening, and yet we miss out on the important. And I want to say, children are important. And let me give you this warning. I believe that artificial intelligence wants to raise your child. And I commit myself to say that's not going to happen with the children who are part of this church. I don't want artificial intelligence to raise any child, but that's the way society is going, the power of artificial intelligence, the influence of artificial intelligence. Should the world exist for another 100 years, historians will look back and say in the 21st century, there was a major change in society. Artificial intelligence became so pandemic that it affected lives and controlled people. And through artificial intelligence, it's the way that the Antichrist will work. He needs artificial intelligence. He cannot rule this world without it. He doesn't have the power that God has. Certainly he has certain powers, but not that power. But artificial intelligence will give him the ability to control this world. And so that's there before us. I'm not trying to make you fearful, but I am trying to warn you. Don't yield your kids to that. Determine that you will raise your children, that you will be the impact on them. I know that as they go through life, there's some things that they will choose, and you've got to allow for that. I do understand that. However, do your best with your kids. It's important. So mothers have a powerful place in the lives of their children. I'm saying, Mum, can you use it wisely and well? I want to share a story with you this morning about a lady named Susanna Wesley. She was the youngest of 25 children and had 19 children of her own. She was born in 1669, over 350 years ago. Although she never preached a sermon or published a book or founded a church, she is known as the mother of Methodism. Why? Because two of her sons, John Wesley and Charles Wesley, as children, consciously or unconsciously, applied the example and teachings and circumstances of their home life. Susanna married a guy named Samuel Wesley. Samuel was a bit of a loser. Her dad was a minister and her husband was a minister. But he got caught up in a whole lot of things and he would leave the family. And on one occasion, well, let me just read here. It says that they had 19 children. 9 of her children died as infants. 4 of those who died were twins. And a maid accidentally smothered one child. At her death, only 8 of her children were still alive. She experienced many hardships throughout her life. Her husband left her and the children for over a year because of a minor dispute. I don't know what sort of man he was, but I think the guy's a loser for sure. To her absent husband, Susanna Wesley wrote, "I am a woman." And remember, in that time, women didn't occupy, as they do today, places of opportunity or prominence. They couldn't inherit property. They didn't have a right to vote. They were almost like possessions to their husband. So she wrote to her husband and she said, "I am a woman, but I'm also the mistress of a large family. And though the superior chance of the souls contained in it lies upon you, yet in your long absence," listen to this, "I cannot but look upon every soul you leave under my charge as a talent committed to me under a trust." I want to read that to you again. "I cannot but look upon every soul you leave under my charge as a talent committed to me under a trust. I'm not a man nor a minister, yet as a mother and a mistress, I felt I ought to do more than I had yet done. I resolved to begin with my own children, in which I observed the following method. I take such a proportion of time as I can spare every night to discourse with each child separately. Under no circumstances were Susanna's children permitted to have any lessons until they had reached the age of five. But the day after their fifth birthday, their formal education began. They attended classes for 6 hours a day, and on the very first day, the children were supposed to learn the whole of the alphabet. The children got a good education, daughters included. That was unusual at that time. They all learnt Latin and Greek and were well tutored in the classical studies that were traditional in England at the time. During a time when her husband was in London defending a friend against charges of heresy, he had appointed a locum to bring the message. The man's sermons revolved solely around repaying debts. This lack of diverse spiritual teaching caused Susanna to assemble her children Sunday afternoon for family services. They would sing a psalm, and then Susanna would read a sermon from either her husband's or her father's sermon file, followed by another psalm. The local people began to ask if they could attend. At one point, there were over 200 people coming to hear her on Sunday afternoon and attend those meetings. In the church, the numbers dwindled. She practiced daily devotions throughout her life. In fact, it's said that, rumoured, that she would throw the apron over her head. And the children knew that that was her time with God and they were not to disturb her in any way. What a godly woman. And what an impact that woman has had. Let me just share some of those things from that with you. What can we learn from her? She said, I've read it to you twice, under my charge is a talent committed to me under a trust. Have you ever considered that God has given you your children under a trust? He sent a soul encased in a body into the womb of a mother. And then that child is born, and the expectation of God is that mothers will care for those children, love them, teach them, impart to them. But if we could get that concept in our mind, and fathers too, that children have been committed to us under a trust, which makes me think God will ask us, what did we do with our children? And we shall give an answer for that. That is my belief. We'll see when we get to heaven whether that's the ultimate case. But I think that it's something worth considering, and it's worth considering now. No point in waiting till you get to heaven. You have a trust, parents, to raise a child. The second thing is a life in a household of order. With that many children, you can imagine running in every direction. She brought order into that house, and her husband was away. In fact, he spent two terms in prison, not for any crime as such, but in those days, if you didn't pay your debt, you went to prison till you could repay it. Tough life. We'd have a lot more people in prison these days if that was the case. But that's where he was. And so she's running the family. She had to run the household, pay the bills. I don't know what they survived on financially. In fact, at one stage, the house burnt down. And her children were then placed with other families for 2 years. And she was distraught at that because those families weren't really, while they were caring for children, they weren't teaching them proper things. They weren't bringing them to godly places. And she brought the children back as the house was rebuilt and she was able, but she ran a household and she taught that order to her children. So John Wesley was a great preacher. And he, because the church didn't welcome him, so he would preach in the fields. And people would gather out there to hear him. And by the thousands, he would preach to those thousands. In fact, it is said of John Wesley, he was the cause that Britain didn't follow the French. When they went into the French Revolution, killed their king and the nobles there, they thought Britain would have gone the same way, or England would have gone the same way, but because of John Wesley, they didn't, because he sowed so much Christianity throughout the country. He would ride on horseback, prepare all his sermons. He did a great job. But the interesting thing is there was a contemporary of his called George Whitefield, who was a really great preacher. And they say his voice could be heard for great distances, because you imagine thousands of people coming together with no microphones, no amplification. But such was the power of George Whitefield's preaching that people would tremble in fear and get saved. People would clutch onto trees and scream they were descending into hell. That was the effect that he had. But at the end of his life, George Whitefield said, "All that I did was like having a handful of sand that spilt through my fingers. compared to John Wesley, because Wesley organised people. Once they got saved, he made sure they had a place to meet, people to connect with, people to be a part of, a church perhaps that was a godly church, so that what Wesley saw converted was held. And Whitfield said of Wesley, he called him, that he used Methodism, in other words, methods. And that's how the Methodist Church got its name. Came from that occurrence that John Wesley did. So this man did a huge job. His brother wrote 6,500 hymns. That's a pretty good effort, I would think. 6,500. I mean, I know there was no TV in those days, but life was still there and he was still busy. She taught them how to work, running a household with all those kids, organising the food, letting everything happen, spending time with each child individually, spending her own quiet time with the Lord, preaching on Sundays. What a woman. But she imparted something. John Wesley, they say his work ethic was huge. Preparing his sermons, he rode on horseback. I have seen the figure, but thousands of miles to go and preach all over the country there. That's what he did. And that's how the Methodist Church was created, and it continues unto this day. Then the fourth thing is, how do I overcome hardships? His mother could have just given up and said, oh, I'll let the children go to the poorhouse or the orphanage or live with other families. My husband's a dead loser, you know, just a waste of space. I don't want to live this life. But she chose differently. She worked hard. She organised. She made her children get involved. I bet those kids had things to do in the household that she insisted they do. I don't want to suggest she probably had a little cane that she used on them occasionally, but maybe she did to keep those children in line and keep them going in the right direction. So despite all the hardships she went through, she raised a family. Now, of course, we know of John and Charles Wesley best, but the others were also successful in their own lives. Some married ministers, the women married ministers, the guys were involved in other things. All because a lady named Susanna Wesley created a legacy for her children. Now, I don't expect any mother here to do what Susanna Wesley did. She was exceptional. But you can get the idea of what you can do in creating a legacy. And I think that that is a special, special thing. John Wesley is well known. Of course, his house is preserved. The church he preached in is preserved. And it's still in existence today. He's the Methodist church that he started. But I believe it was all because of her. What if Susanna Wesley had not done that? That John and Charles had grown up like their dad, just not achieving much in life. What if Britain might have gone the way of the French Revolution? Thousands of people who became born again through his preaching would never have entered into the kingdom of God. We need to acknowledge what a great work Susanna Wesley did and honour her because of that. Mums, today, we honour you. We honour your lives. We honour your love. We honour your mothering instincts. We honour your sacrifices. And we honour your godly influence on your children. There is nothing like a mother's prayer. Dads, we can pray. And so we should. But I just think mums have got a hotline to heaven when they pray about their children. And I encourage you, if you've got kids away from the Lord today, mums, don't give up. Keep praying. God's listening. Your prayers are not wasted. God can turn things around and give you a miracle. You may not even see it in your lifetime, but don't let go. When it gets darkest, believe the light will shine the brightest into the life of that child.